Last week on the Let the Bible Speak program, I discussed why, as New Testament Christians today, we have no creed but Christ. We talked about the practice in the religious world today of having human creeds, written statements of authority that govern and control a particular denominational church instead of the New Testament alone. And we talked last week about how that creeds are not authorized by the New Testament. They are written by men, not by God. They actually impeach the wisdom and the Word of God because they say more or less than God's Word. They focus on the authority and standard of man's Word, not the authority and standard of God's Word. They often teach things that are contrary to plain Scripture. They must be revised from year to year. Different denominational bodies today are revising their particular creeds. There was a news story recently about how the Episcopalian Church is thinking about revising their creed book to reflect gender-neutral language about God in the Bible. They keep the religious world divided. They will not be used as the standard of judgment in the last day. Jesus' words will be, John 12, verse 48. So why do we need them if they're not even going to be our standard of judgment in the last day? So we looked at that last week, and this morning we're glad that you've joined us on the Let the Bible Speak program. We're glad that you tune in each week. This morning I want to do a follow-up to last week's lesson, a part two, if you will. And I simply want to go down through the New Testament and see how that in each of the 27 books of the New Testament, there are references to the New Testament gospel being our standard of authority. You might want to go ahead and get a pencil and a piece of paper and jot these down. We're going to look at a few of them. It's certainly not an exhaustive list. There are other verses that we could look at, but we're just going to take a sampling from Matthew to Revelation, and we're going to find that in each and every New Testament book, there is a reference to the gospel being the body of truth that we are to believe and obey today, not man's word written down after the gospel was revealed by Jesus and his apostles, not human creeds, but our standard of authority today is the New Testament scriptures, the very Word of God. And so we're going to start in Matthew and we're going to go to Revelation. And if you'd like to jot these down, it might be fruitful for you to do that. You may want to study them more on your own time. Let's just simply go down through and remind ourselves from the New Testament that the New Testament is our standard of authority. Jesus' words and his apostles are the standard of our authority. And I want to begin in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5, when Jesus is on top of the Mount of Transfiguration, he's transfigured there before Peter, James, and John. And we find that while that is taking place, Matthew 17, verse 5, while he was yet speaking, Jesus, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." God said from heaven, "Listen to my Son." We don't follow man-made creeds. We listen to Jesus. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Come now to the end of the book of Matthew, when Jesus is sending out his disciples into all the world to make more disciples, sending his apostles out to make disciples. And he says in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, "All authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth." There is no authority that resides in the creeds of men. All authority has been given to Jesus. And then he delegated that to his apostles and no one else. And so we find all authority is given to Jesus. Then in verse 19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. They were to make disciples, baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, not into a body of teaching of man. And then verse 20, teaching them to observe what? All things whatsoever I command you. Not teaching them to observe what has been written down by men in various catechisms and creeds and councils, but what I command you, Jesus said. It's always focused on the authority of Jesus' words. Turn with me to Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, Mark's account of Jesus sending his apostles to make disciples. And we find a little bit different wording here. That's why it's important to always take any parallel account in your Bible study and take it all together. In Mark's account, in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, he said unto them, the apostles, who were with him after the resurrection, go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. You jump down to verse 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word by the signs that followed. They preached that word of the gospel. Jesus said in verse 15, go preach the gospel to the whole creation. He that believeth, that is, believes the gospel and is baptized, shall be saved. No creeds of men here, no authorities of man here, but simply preaching the gospel. And in verse 20, that's the very thing that they did. When Jesus was received up into heaven to sit and reign and rule at the right hand of God, verse 20, they, the apostles, went preaching the word everywhere. And the Lord confirmed that word by miraculous signs and wonders to show that they were the Lord's appointed and anointed men to preach the truth. It would distinguish them from any false teachers that came along later. So they had miraculous signs and wonders to confirm what they were saying, preaching of the gospel, was true. Turn with me to Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Jesus said when he was preaching, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Everyone that cometh unto me and heareth my words doeth them, and I will show you to whom he is like. And he talks about the wise man who built his house upon the rock. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? And you need to go out and do what I say. Turn with me to John chapter 12 and verse 48. We made mention of this last week, that Jesus said in John chapter 12 and verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my sayings hath one that judgeth him. The word that I spake, the same shall judge him in the last day. All of the emphasis is on Jesus. Nothing about what man says and writes down in his creed books. What Jesus says, that will be our standard of judgment in the last day. And on the night of Jesus' betrayal, before going to the cross, they're going through Jerusalem, and he's going to be arrested later that evening. As they're leaving the upper room where was the Lord's Supper instituted, the Passover earlier, Jesus washed their feet to show an example of service. In John 14, 15, and 16, as they're leaving the upper room and walking through town before he's arrested, before Judas comes, we find that Jesus promises the apostles, not everyone, the apostles who were with him, that they would be guided into all the truth. And in John 14 and verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. So the words of Jesus. Then we find in John chapter 14 and verse 26, the Comforter, even the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you, not all people, not us today. He's talking to his apostles. Judas has left them. He's not there. The others are there. The Holy Spirit shall guide you into all the truth. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said unto you. We find the same promise in chapter 15, verses 26 and 27. Chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. The promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit to guide them into all the truth. And then in John 17 and verse 20, Jesus offers up a prayer, again, right before his betrayal in chapter 18. In chapter 17 and verse 20, he prays that people who hear the words of the apostles would be unified based upon the words of the apostles whom have been guided by the Holy Spirit into all the truth. John 17:20, I pray for them also that believe on me through their word, that's the words of the apostles, that they, the people who hear the apostles, may be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. How? Would believe on me through their word. So Jesus gave his words through the Holy Spirit to the apostles, and that is the word that unites believers. Not creeds, but the words of the apostles in the New Testament. Come with me to Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. After the church is established on the day of Pentecost, we find that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine or the apostles' teaching, not the words of men, not the creeds of men, but the New Testament church continued learning the apostles' teaching because Jesus said that they would be guided into all the truth. We can come to Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 17, the saints there at Rome had obeyed the form of teaching that was delivered to them by Paul and others and those who preached the gospel in order to have Christians in Rome. It's the gospel. They were obedient to the faith, which is the gospel, Romans 16, 25 and 26. Come with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. Again, just mentioning a few in each of the New Testament books. 1 Corinthians 11, 23, Paul talking about the Lord's Supper said, I delivered unto you that which, for I received of the Lord, that which also I delivered unto you. He gave them what the Lord had given him. In 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 37, Paul says, the things which I write are the commandment of the Lord. In chapter 15, verses 1 and 2 of 1 Corinthians, he reminds them of the gospel which they had received, by which they were saved. The gospel, no creeds of man. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 6, Paul said that he was made minister, he and the other apostles were made ministers of a new covenant. And then he says in later in that chapter in verse 17 that those who turn to the Lord can be saved. Whensoever it shall turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That new covenant, the words of the Spirit, the words of the Lord, they will free us. We'll see that later when we get to the book of James. Chapter 13 and verse 5, 2 Corinthians 13, 5, Paul says, to examine yourselves to see if you are in the faith. The faith is the New Testament teaching. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, Paul says that there is no other gospel, that we are not to preach any other gospel other than that which he preached and what they had received. And if somebody does that, they will be anathema. In Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 10, the apostle Paul talked about the fullness of the times and preaching the gospel. And then he comes on down and he says, the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, verse 13. There are other passages in each of these books, but we're just sampling a few. We come to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 16. Paul says, holding forth the word of life, that I may have whereof to glory in the day of Christ. We are seen as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. That's the New Testament gospel. In Colossians chapter 2, especially, Paul talks about the wisdom. All wisdom is in Christ, verse 3, and we're not to be deceived by human philosophy, verse 8. We're not to let any man rob us of our prize, verse 18. Verse 19, we are to hold fast the head, capital H, that is Christ. And so we have all things. We are made full, verse 10. How? The wisdom and the knowledge that is hidden in Christ, chapter 2 and verse 3. They had received Christ, verse 6. And they were to walk in Him. They were taught in Christ, verse 7. No man-made creeds. In fact, with regard to man-made principles and teachings, if you look at verse 20 and 21 and 22, Paul says to stay away from human ordinances and what man says. Just stay with what Christ teaches. And so, we've come from Matthew all the way down to the book of Colossians. Each one of these books talking about the New Testament, the words of Jesus, the gospel, the Holy Spirit inspired apostles' words, the apostles' doctrine. The gospel is the power of salvation. One gospel, none other. And that is the only thing that is to be preached and followed. And when man comes along with human philosophy, stay away from that. Don't be deceived by that. Let's pick up now, turn to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, and let's go from here to the end of the New Testament. And you can see, friend, in each one of these, it's just simply the New Testament is our standard of authority. We don't have to have anything more or anything less or anything else than the New Testament. We speak where the Bible speaks. We are silent where the Bible is silent. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4, Paul was talking about how that he was in Thessalonica preaching the gospel, and he said that he wanted to be there, not speaking as pleasing men, but pleasing God. And then he says in verse 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 that he was there simply preaching the truth of God's word. And he says in verse 8, we were well pleased to impart unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls. That's all he preached. He spoke what God wanted, and that was the gospel of God. And then later in chapter 4 and verse 1, he says, brethren, we exhort you in the Lord that you, as you received of us how you ought to walk, that's when he preached the gospel of God, to walk and to please God even as you do walk. We are to walk in what was received in the gospel of God. Walk in none other teaching. That's how we truly please God. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 15. 2 Thessalonians 2:15. So then, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which were taught, whether by word or by epistle of ours, Paul and the other apostles, not what man writes later, but what was taught, whether by word or epistle of the apostle Paul and the other apostles. That's what we hold fast. That's what we stand fast in. Turn with me to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, there are several places in 1 and 2 Timothy where the apostle Paul talks about Timothy and his relationship to the gospel or the word or the preaching of the gospel. We find, for example, in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6 that he was to be a minister, nourished. Put them in mind, thou shalt be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished in the words of the faith. That's the gospel. In chapter 5 and verse 8, he talks about those who have denied the faith, the gospel. In chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, if someone teaches a different doctrine and consents not to sound words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is puffed up and so forth. That's the standard. The words of our Lord Jesus Christ. The doctrine of godliness, that's the New Testament, you see. In verse 10, some have been led astray from the faith, the New Testament teaching. In verse 21, some have erred concerning the faith. They've gone away from the New Testament teaching. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 13. Hold the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love and so forth. The Apostle Paul, that's what we listen to, and we hold fast that pattern. In chapter 2 and verse 2, the things which you have heard from me, it has to come from Paul. Among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. In the same chapter, in verse 15, handling aright the word of truth. Chapter 3, verse 15, the scriptures make one wise unto salvation. And then verse 16 and 17, every scripture inspired of God makes us complete, is profitable for these things and makes us complete. It's the scripture. In chapter 4, verses 2, 3, and 4, Timothy is told to preach the word, not the creeds of men, but preach the word, because some are going to turn away their ears from the truth. And so, it's always focused on the New Testament teaching. Look at the little book of Titus. Titus chapter 1 and verse 9. After giving the qualifications of elders in verse 5. The Apostle Paul says in verse 9, Titus 1, 9, holding to the faithful word, which is according to the teaching, that he may be able to exhort in the sound doctrine. This is always the New Testament teaching. And so the elders are to hold fast to that word. Later in verse 13, reprove them sharply that they may be sound in the faith, to make sure that they're walking according to the New Testament. Come with me to the little book of Philemon. Even in the little book of Philemon, where Paul is encouraging Philemon to take back the runaway slave who is now a Christian named Onesimus. Take him back and encourage him. Even in this little book that is focused on Paul's desires for Philemon, we find the gospel mentioned in verse 13, that Paul is in prison at this time when he's writing this book to Philemon. He converts Onesimus while he was there in prison. Somehow he had made contact with this slave who had run to Rome. And now he is converted, and Paul wants to send him back. And notice how he talks about how that he would have kept him, that in my behalf he might minister unto me in the bonds of the gospel. Paul is imprisoned because of preaching the gospel, living for the gospel, sharing the gospel with others, upholding the gospel. All of that went along, and eventually there were times when he was persecuted for that and imprisoned for that. And it's always about the gospel, never the creeds of man. So even in the little book of Philemon, we have a reference to the New Testament gospel. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews, written for Christians who were falling away from Christ. At the very beginning of the book, Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2, God, having of old time spoken unto the fathers and the prophets by divers portions and in divers manners, the Old Testament, hath at the end of these days spoken unto us in his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, the New Testament. God speaks to us today through his Son. And we need to be careful. Chapter 2, verses 1 and following, 1 through 4. We have to be careful that we don't neglect so great a salvation, verse 3, which was first spoken through the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard, the apostles. And so what Jesus said and what the apostles taught. Turn with me to the book of James, in James chapter 1. James talks about the New Testament gospel there. In James chapter 1 and verse 22, be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deluding your own selves. For anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened unto a man beholding his natural face in the mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth away and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But he that looketh into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and so continueth, being not a hearer that forgets, but a doer that works, this man shall be blessed in his doing. What is this word? It is the perfect law of liberty. It's the law of Christ, Galatians 6 and verse 1. It's the law of the Spirit of life, Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. It's the New Testament gospel of Christ. And we're to be hearers and doers of that. Turn with me to the book of 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, Peter talks about obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Christ. We have to obey Christ's word and be sprinkled by his blood in baptism. And then in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, seeing that you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth. And he talks about how that truth, verse 23, is the word of God. And verse 25, the word of the Lord, which abides forever. That's what we have been obedient to, not the creeds of men. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. We need to move along. We've got a few more books and we're running out of time. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, we are to add to our faith knowledge. And we find out in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18 that knowledge is the knowledge of Christ. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6, hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments, Jesus. And he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, Jesus' word, in him verily hath the love of God been perfected. Again, it's always about the words of Christ. We have in 2 John 9 through 11, whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching of Christ hath not God. He that abides in the teaching hath both the Father and the Son. In 3 John verse 3 and 4, we find the same kind of thing with regard to truth. Brethren, I rejoice greatly when brethren came and bear witness unto thy truth, even as thou walkest in truth. Greater joy have I none than this, than to hear my children walking in truth. In Jude 3, contend earnestly for the faith. And that's the New Testament gospel. And then finally, in Revelation, that comes after the little book of Jude, Revelation 20, 11 through 14, in the judgment day, the books will be opened and will be judged according to the things that are written in the books. That's the New Testament teaching. Friends, we have no creed but Christ. We simply follow the New Testament, and we call upon you to do that very thing with us. Why won't you do that? We're glad that you've joined us, and have a good day.